my podcast. I'm Kerry Pierce, Principal Osteopath and Self-Directed Healing Practitioner at Lilydale Osteopathy and Natural Healthcare. In this episode, I want to talk briefly about bursitis and the origins of dry needle therapy. I have just returned from a women's consciousness festival called Bohemian Summer Festival, which was in Balan near Ballarat. And I had an amazing weekend. I'm actually going to talk about that next week in terms of some of the things that I learned and some of the things that I taught. But one of the really interesting conversations I had while I was away was with a lady who had her right arm in a sling. And when I queried her, just out of curiosity, what have you done to yourself? She told me that she had bursitis in her shoulder. Now, bursitis is predominantly an overuse injury, the old RSI term, repetitive strain injury, and it is predominantly inflammatory in nature, and it does respond quite well pharmaceutically to a corticosteroid injection. But these days, most practitioners, most general practitioners, most surgeons aren't really keen on doing corticosteroid injections really quickly without having sent the patient for some conservative treatment first. And what surprised me about this particular lady was that she had only been suffering for about 2.5 weeks when her doctor had obviously sent her off to go and have this corticosteroid injection, and she hadn't had any conservative manual therapy to start with. And I was surprised by that. The problem with doing that is that corticosteroid is chondroclastic. Now, chondro means cartilage, and clastic means it breaks down. So there's two main cells that live in your cartilage. There's the chondroblasts and the chondroclasts. And the chondroblasts are the ones that build cartilage, and the chondroclasts are the ones that break it down. And our body's turning over those tissues all the time. So that needs to be in good balance. But corticosteroid can aggravate that destruction of cartilage and speed up the wear and tear and result in those joints showing aging, showing wear and tear before we would normally expect. So I was quite surprised that they had gone for that course of treatment quite early on. And I said to her, well, if I was treating you, if you were my patient, my approach is some dry needling. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. Some dry needling, some therapeutic ultrasound. I like to tape it up, which is not dissimilar to the way that she had it slinged in terms of rest, but gives the patient some mobility and that keeps the tissues healthy. Again, I'll come back to that in a moment. But what I want to start with before I go into those details is just a little bit of the history of dry needle therapy. Now, Janet Travell, who's generally considered the mother of musculoskeletal medicine, she actually started life as a cardiologist, and she would get sent patients who had chest pain. She'd check them out, make sure that it wasn't their heart, satisfied that it wasn't. She thought, well, why have these patients got chest pain? And so she started to palpate around the areas that they were complaining of having that chest pain. And she found these little nodules of muscles that we now call trigger points. That's her terminology. And she started to experiment with treating these sore bits of muscle by injecting local anesthetic, and she got good results. And so she ended up with a bit of a reputation for being able to treat these weird musculoskeletal conditions that didn't seem to have any particular origin. And one day she was injecting someone and he said, oh, that feels better already. She was like, but I haven't injected anything yet. And all she'd done was put the needle in without actually doing the injection of the local anesthetic. And so she started to wonder, well, I wonder how much of my patient's relief actually comes from the anesthetic that she was injecting versus just the mechanical stimulation of the muscle with the needle. And so she started to use a dry needle to inject trigger points, to treat trigger points, and continued to get really good results. And in my experience, and I've been dry needling now for more than 20 years, it's amazing how many people who have had corticosteroid or other injections, and it wears off eventually, and they come and see me, and the feedback I get is that they got as much relief from the dry needling as they did from their injectable. And I wonder how many of these miracle treatments. You know, we've seen a few over the years. There's PRP, plasma replacement therapy, there's prolotherapy, saline injections, and every time something new comes out, it's the new best thing and everybody's going to feel better from it. But how much of the relief that these patients get is from the injectable versus the mechanical stimulation of the muscle fiber from the needle itself? And I have continued over 20 years to see amazing results on scar tissue and inflammatory conditions, RSIs, just by stimulating the area with the dry needling. So my approach for somebody with bursitis, and they happen in all sorts of places, but predominantly shoulders, elbows, hips and knees are the main places that we see those bursitis. And I treat them with dry needling, with therapeutic ultrasound, which sends high frequency sound waves that travel quite deeply into the tissues and kind of give you a deep tissue massage without the massage. Is shown to have anti-inflammatory properties along with the dry needling. And so I find that those two modalities work really well together. I will tape the shoulder in the way that elevates the arm in the socket and takes the weight of the arm off the tissues that would otherwise be holding it. And that just gives those tissues a chance to rest and a chance to recover. Some oral non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Nurofen or Voltaren are also optional. Otherwise, there might be some natural alternatives that you might like to take. Arnica, I'm a big fan of green lip muscle extract. The omega-3s in that as an anti-inflammatory can be really helpful for those inflammatory conditions. Ice, if it's really problematic. Topical anti-inflammatories, your Voltaren gels and those sorts of things, or anything that if you wanted to rub it on the inflammase or the Medi rubs, those types of things that have got natural anti-inflammatories, again, like Arnica in them, can be helpful. But I would expect to see some improvement, especially in a patient who had a fairly acute onset, a fairly recent onset of only a couple of weeks. I would have expected some improvement with conservative manual therapy within a week or two. Not necessarily resolved, but certainly improvement. And so I'm really disappointed that her doctor, her general practitioner, encouraged her to go down that corticosteroid route so quickly. Now, I'm not against it. Steroids are a fantastic drug. They're a fantastic anti-inflammatory, but they're not without their risks. They're not without their long-term problems. Another adjunct to therapy that can be really helpful is the Bextor soda crystals. Now, this is a slight variation on the good old electric soda or washing soda. We sell it at the clinic. You can get it from the supermarket. My advice to patients is to get an old pair of pantyhose or a new pair if you want, or an old tea towel, something that's quite porous, and throw a couple of handfuls of the Bextor's crystals in there, wrap it around the area of swelling, and go to bed with it. Put a towel down, your sheets are going to get messy otherwise. It is just washing soda. So if it gets onto your clothes, onto your jammies, onto your sheets, it's not a problem. Just throw it in the wash and it'll actually help make the rest of your washing clean. But Bextor's crystals, electric soda, is hydrophilic. So it loves water, it loves fluids, and it will pull the fluids out of those joints. And there's really no harm in doing that on a regular basis. Washing soda is highly basic, highly alkaline. So applying it directly to the skin for several days in a row can result in irritation. So the advice is to only do it every second day so that you don't create basically a burn, not an acid burn, but an alkaline burn. So keep that in mind if you decide to give the electric soda a go, but that's really helpful for sprains and strains and any joints that have got fluid in them. Get that Bextor's crystals, get those electric soda in there, and you'll be amazed at how much of that fluid is pulled out and how, when you take it off the joint, it'll be hard like plaster. An example that I want to share with you is of a patient who came to me after a knee injury, and this knee was quite swollen. And of course, the first thing I did was compare it to the other knee. What should her knees look like? And the other knee was almost just as bad. And she said, oh, don't worry about that. That's been like that for 20 years from a horse riding accident. And okay, that made my job a little bit harder. But I treated her injured knee. I didn't touch the other side, but I suggested that she give the Baxter's crystals a go. And she came back to see me the following week and she was like, oh my goodness, that knee has not been that good for 20 years. So even old injuries that have swollen up and haven't really 100% resolved, you can always give the Baxter's a go and it's not going to do you any harm. Just, as I say, be aware that it is very alkaline and constant contact with the skin can cause an irritation. If you decide to put it in the bath, it is very slippery, so be careful when you get out. But honestly, using it as a pack on the swollen joint is going to yield you the best results. Now, if you Google bursitis, you're always going to be met with the worst possible scenarios. Generally speaking, they show photos of what bursitis looks like that has perhaps been years in the making, completely untreated. You'll see these big red ballooned joints. And that's not usually the way we practitioners see them. Usually patients come to see us before it reaches that point. So if you have a suspicion that you've got a bursitis, don't necessarily rely on those images from Google because they're the worst case scenario. Pretty much any hamstring strain is going to result in some behind the knee Baker's cyst type bursitis. And so making sure that you look after that hamstring strain and that bursa behind the knee is a really important step to ensuring it doesn't develop into what you see on Google. So if bursitis is one of those things that you've experienced or a loved one has, there's a couple of ideas to throw at you. Seek out an osteopath or a practitioner that does some dry needling. The therapeutic ultrasound is a great adjunct to that. A lot of physios do that as well. But give your bursitis a chance to recover on a conservative level before heading down that corticosteroid route, because the long-term effects of injecting corticosteroids into joints is premature aging, premature wear and tear of that cartilage. So look after your joints, take those omega-3s, seek out somebody who will guide you in that conservative approach. If you like my videos and you want to subscribe, you can find me on all the platforms, YouTube, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. I also extract the audio and upload it to Spotify and Amazon and Podbean. All my platforms are available in the LinkedIn bio above. So find me wherever you find podcasts, find me wherever you find videos, and stay tuned for next week when I tell you about my little festival that I went to. Have a good week.